You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on. Lease the new 2020 Nissan Rogue Special Edition from $327 a month for 60 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final Hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. And now up on TSN 2, Brian Hayes and Jamie Noodles McLennan. It's a Maple Leaf game night tonight. Leafs Blues at 7 o'clock. Coverage beginning right here on TSN 1050 at 7. You can watch it on TSN 4. So the O-Dog is off doing panel hits. Pre-game at 6:30 up on TSN 4. And the Cup champs, they're only here once a year. Leafs are off to a good start. 2-0-1. They have not... You know, they haven't played perfect hockey, but I don't think anybody in the NHL has through three games.
No. There's
and 5 of 6 points, man. You'll take it.
There's a lot of things to still be worked out as far as bugs and, you know, guys to play at the top of their game yet. I know all the focus is on Kasperi Kapanen, but as we talked about in the 4 o'clock hour, you know, I think Marner's got more. I think Tavares has more. Guys in the back end, they still got to clean things up. I think Cody Ceci's a guy that... you know, still is much maligned, I believe. I think he's a guy who can have a real effect on that back end this year.
Morgan Riley hung him out to dry a few times on Saturday night. Yeah. Like, Morgan is riverboat gambling right now.
Yeah.
And he'll scale that back, but...
Yeah, the Domi goal, you know...
He got caught up by multiple times.
I didn't... Now, CeCe tried to play the pass across. It was a perfect pass across. It was a great forehand one-timer by Max Domi. But, you know, CeCe knows where that puck's going, just doesn't get there. I don't blame that on CeCe whatsoever. Morgan jumps, pinches on the play, and you get caught up. Marner doesn't get back.
Riley should not have been pinching there. It made no sense. It was a neutral
zone.
You need
coverage. If you're going to pinch on the strong side of the puck, you need a forward back. And I know we haven't even talked about Winnipeg right now, and you see that Morrissey's
their defense
hurt.
Core is...
Well, and Kulikov now is left for personal reasons.
Right.
If I got to be honest, now I don't know what's going on with Dustin Byfuglien. If it's just desire or if there's something else, we have to always be careful with our words because if it's something more than that, you'd never want to feel bad about it. But how could you sit there and watch your team, you know, go through that struggles? Josh Morrissey gets hurt in warm-up the other day. Kulikov's leaves. And this guy's on vacation. May not, you know, doesn't want to play.
Sounds like he doesn't want to play. And if you don't want to play, okay.
I get it.
Then just say I'm not playing.
But
that's what needs to happen here. And then, listen, you have the ability to change your mind in 3 or 4 months.
Right.
But now you're just, you got to think in the room, they're calling him. Like, can you show up? We could use you at this point.
Like, this guy is... he's a Swiss Army knife. He's the most unique player in the National Hockey League because he can do it all. He's a beast. And if I'm on that team, I'm sitting there like looking at the defensive core. It's patchwork right now because of the injuries and the turnover. And one guy's at home. I know it's his right, but it would be tough. Say he comes back a month from now and they've been scratching and clawing like they came back. Was it against Jersey the other day? I watched that game. Nice comeback.
Yeah, 4-0 in that game.
Yeah, 4 Cobb. They end up coming back and winning that. You know, good for them. Watched them play the Islanders yesterday. Like Brassois, they come back with Brassois. Brassois's not a guy that you play 10 games in a row. He can give them backup minutes, but Hellebuck needs to play a little bit better. Not a little bit. Needs to play a lot better. But to blame that all on the defensive core, I was watching the game last night. People are like, oh, the defense have to be in better position. How about the forwards help out? That's
the
thing.
You know how it is, man. When you get that kind of turnover, and you know that's all they're talking about in Winnipeg.
It is.
They're talking about is the defense core and how depleted.
But they should talk about all 5 guys on the ice standing there puck watching instead of doing their job.
Well, I've been saying that all afternoon about the Kapanen Tavares Marner line. Like, all I hear is Kapanen, Kapanen, Kapanen. He's not played well. But John Tavares has not played great either.
And Mitch Marner can help them.
Like, and
they
Marner can
help
play
each other
better.
Up.
Yes.
You're right.
So it's always more than just one guy.
It goes hand in hand. And that's what I think I'm getting worked up about. There is, in Winnipeg, there's the turnover. In Toronto, they've won. So it's 2-0-1. It hasn't been perfect games. But there are things where, to me, if the Matthews line isn't going one night, that's where the Tavares line goes.
Yeah,
okay,
and that's
just
a matter of time. I mean, that's going. The third line's played well.
And the fourth line, actually, but the turnover,
they've
been
along.
Fine. They've been fine. Like and the decor, you know, I didn't see Rasmus Sandin getting
He's not playing a lot.
No, I didn't
he's not.
See
he's playing like 8 to 10 minutes.
That early, I didn't see him getting pushed.
No, I thought he'd get more than that, especially in a back-to-back when you're up 4-1. I'm like, get him out there a little more.
Yeah.
Jamie Rivers, voice of the Blues, later in the hour to tee up the game. So the biggest story in pro sports right now is what's going on in the NBA.
Yeah.
And Daryl Morey, who's a very well thought of GM, very successful GM down in Houston, very active on social media. Sent out a tweet over the weekend in support of Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And it's up there on TSN2 right now. Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong. So the eyes of the world are on Hong Kong and
right. And
China and what's happening over there. But the NBA's made this very clear for years, and they're not alone. Every sports league around the world, China is a market they're trying to get into. Because
right. There's
so many people and there's so much money, and it's a burgeoning sports market, and the NBA's leading the charge there. And Morey immediately deleted the tweet and then didn't just backpedal. He turned around and started sprinting.
Right.
And the NBA issued a statement that I wouldn't say was overly supportive of freedom of speech. And someone who wrote a great piece on this up on SI.com, here is NBA analyst and writer Chris Mannix. I read your piece this morning, Chris. I mean, give us your impression of how this all played out over the weekend.
Well, I mean, it started off as something that was, relatively innocuous. I mean, Daryl Morey tweeting out, something that a lot of Americans believe in and is actually kind of official U.S. policy that Hong Kong be afforded the freedoms it negotiated back in 1997. But, we're not, it's a very complicated world that we live in. And, the NBA obviously has a lot of tentacles in China right now. The Houston Rockets are one of, if not the most popular team in China because of the Yao Ming experience that, playing there. And it just became a just complete storm. It got out of control very quickly. The response from China was rapid. It was relatively severe with, Tencent, the streaming service that has a monster deal with the NBA, saying it would, not cover Daryl Morey, the Chinese Basketball Association, cutting ties with the Houston Rockets, condemnations coming all around. And it put the NBA in a very difficult position because they had to, they couldn't criticize Daryl Morey's right to say whatever he wants, but they have a strong financial relationship with China and with businesses in China, which led to what you talked about, the statement, which was, I thought, was a very lukewarm statement, as you said. And here we are today. I mean, to emphasize just how crazy this has become, I mean, I don't get emails from the press office of U.S. senators that often. And my email inbox is full of stuff from guys like Ben Sasse and Chuck Schumer and several others just with their statements about the NBA's decision not to fully support Daryl Morey's tweet. So this has become a monster, and we still haven't seen what could be the brunt of it, which could be either Donald Trump weighing in or LeBron James having something strong to say about the subject when the Lakers hit China.
Well, I've said this throughout the afternoon. I don't believe that LeBron has any obligation to say anything about this issue. I know he's been outspoken about issues in the past, but a lot of them were about him, his community, the American society. Do you believe LeBron has an obligation to speak on it?
No, absolutely not. I mean, nobody's required to say anything. I think it's commendable that LeBron has taken up so many social causes over the course of his career because – in a way, he is like a human starter pistol. I mean, when he says or does something, it has to be covered on a national level, and it sparks the debate and changes the conversation to a degree. But he's not obligated to do it. What I would hope, the James Harden comment, I kind of cringed a little bit. I don't think that Daryl Morey or the Rockets or James Harden owes anybody an apology. I mean, remember, it is U.S. policy that the U.S. supports Hong Kong's right to its measure of independence. And I don't think that, Harden should be apologizing for anyone. I think that's almost, I think he should have been coached a little bit more. I mean, I think the the stock answer the NBA probably hopes for is that LeBron says, I don't really have a position on it. I just hope things can get resolved peacefully. If he says that, I think that's, you know, a way to calm things down. If he goes the other way and says something strong in support of the people of Hong Kong, I think this could become just a monster story. But you do have to remember, you know, one of the reasons I think James Harden said what he said and other players will say what they say, China's a big market for them, sneakers. I mean, they sell sneakers there and a lot of them. Every player I know of, top player, makes a trip to China in the off season. So I don't expect LeBron to have anything incendiary to say that might alienate the Chinese market.
So basically what you're saying is it's flat out about money. I mean, it sounds to me that market is pumped so much money, or it's an uncharted, not uncharted, but there's so much money coming out of there. They don't want to ruffle any feathers because that money source or stream will go away.
That is quite literally exactly what it's about. I mean, and Adam Silver, you know, I talked to several NBA governors of their teams and general managers of certain teams, and the message was largely clear. I mean, Adam Silver is about the bag. He's about the money. You know, he's a very progressive commissioner. He has done incredible things in terms of, you know, pushing to get women on coaching staffs and being more inclusive and certainly supporting a lot of different areas of social change. But he is first and foremost about the money and getting those owners and making the NBA as valuable as it can be. And China, I mean, it's still a little murky about how much money comes in from China, but the deal with Tencent was worth reportedly $500 million over 5 years, probably more. We saw reports that NBA China is valued at $4 billion. The NBA takes a lot of victory laps with, you know, the 300 million people play basketball in China, 500 million people watch NBA basketball in China. It is a significant source of revenue for the NBA, and I don't think they're going to do anything to mess that up.
Doesn't that seem quite hypocritical, though, if you really show your true colors that it's about cash, but everyone else, there's so many players that come out and speak about social injustice in North America, and they go after Trump, and they go after things that they really wholeheartedly believe in, but in a market where they're making a lot of money, we better just pull the reins back here a little bit.
It's hypocritical only because of what they've done. I mean, as I wrote in my story, you know, back in 2016, when they pulled that All-Star game away from Charlotte because the North Carolina bathroom law was something they strongly disagreed with, they kind of set a precedent there that this was, you know, this was their position. If there was some social injustice that was happening, they would use their power to, you know, take something like the All-Star game away from them. And I mean, look, the transgender bill that was passed in North Carolina is the equivalent of a parking ticket compared to some of the stuff that goes on over in China that is reported on a daily basis. I mean, there's some ugliness, a lot of ugliness that goes on when it comes to human rights over there. So it's a tough, you know, needle for the NBA to thread to kind of talk their way out of this one, given what they've already said. And to your point about what players and coaches say about Donald Trump, I think it's fair because, you know, the first line in that NBA statement was, and I don't remember off the top of my head, but I'm paraphrasing a little, was it's regrettable that, you know, they've caused that, you know, these comments, you know, negatively affected the people in China. Well, you don't hear the NBA kind of apologizing to conservatives for, you know, Donald Trump bashing that goes on a regular basis. Not to say that I'm not taking a position on whether they're right or wrong, but
right, it's free speech.
Large faction of the country that supports Donald Trump. And, you know, the NBA doesn't apologize to them for their players going after the president. So it is kind of a double standard that's in place here that the NBA is going to have to find a way to tactfully talk their way out of.
With Chris Mannix, well, that's it. I mean, it's not about whether or not you agree or disagree. It's the fact that every American, every Canadian, you have the right to express yourself. And we all know the lines. If it's racial, if it's homophobic, if it goes beyond the lines of indecency, then clearly you're going to pay a price. But I got to believe Adam Silver. Do you think he's reached out to LeBron? You think he's had a conversation with LeBron James?
I don't know. My guess would be that he wouldn't reach out unless LeBron and his team reached out to them to see how they wanted to handle it. Remember, LeBron's going to have some people in his ear as well from Nike, which has a strong presence in China, that are probably going to have some advice on what to say. But One thing about LeBron is that he's always been kind of an independent thinker. And if he decides he wants to go in a certain direction, he's going to go in that direction. I mean, one thing to kind of put a button on sort of the NBA values and what they did, if they didn't do what they did in North Carolina or take some of the positions they had, I really wouldn't be bothered all that much by them doing business in China. I mean, you can't start, you know, boycotting businesses that do business in places that are unsavory. That's just too slippery a slope to step on. There are too many countries in this world that do not live up to the so-called American or North American values that we kind of live by. So, but the NBA, the fact that they've kind of waded into these waters, that's what makes it most problematic. If they just said, you know, we're a business, we're going to go to North Carolina, we're not going to, you know, wade in too deep on social issues, I don't think the backlash would be anywhere near what it is right now.
What's your understanding on how close Daryl Morey came to being fired?
I don't think he came very close. You know, I had one executive say to me, wondered if Daryl wanted to get fired. You know, said to me, said, you know, looking at this team and the Mike D'Antoni situation down there, I mean, maybe he thought this might be a way to dig it out. I don't believe that either. And you know, I haven't talked to Daryl, but I'd love to know what his motivations were in that moment to send a tweet like that. I mean, Daryl's an extremely smart guy and has been around the Rockets for a long time, so he knows how they resonate in China. I just would be curious to know what was going through his mind in that moment. But I don't think that the Rockets were close to firing him. And the NBA, in no way, shape, or form, would ever be able to advocate for the Rockets to do that. I mean, they would just get crucified for, you know, for going after a general manager for saying something that, again, is official U.S. policy, is something that the United States is for when it comes to the rights of Hong Kong.
With Chris Mannix, before we get you out of here, we'd be remiss not to ask you about the Kyle Lowry news. Lowry gets a one-year extension, $31 million. Makes a lot of sense from my perspective, from the Raptors, and certainly from Kyle's perspective. How do you feel about this deal?
Makes a ton of sense. You know, first, Kyle deserves it. You know, what he did last playoff run, playing with a busted thumb, gutting it out, winning games. I mean, he was, you know, Kawhi gets a ton of credit, but Kyle Lowry, and Masai Ujiri were one of the first to tell you this, how he transformed himself after kind of mid-February and took a leadership role, a stronger leadership role with that team, invaluable. No question to what they did in the playoffs. And look, there are certainly going to be some discussions about change in Toronto. I mean, I'm not sure what their plan is, you know, going up to the trade deadline in February, but they do have some expiring contracts. Maybe they want to see how Siakam and Lowry play together as kind of the one and two guys on that team. But giving Kyle a one-year extension, even at that number, it doesn't hamstring you for the future. He's theoretically still tradable in February with a year and a half left on that contract, if that's a way they want to go. You reward a guy that's done, you know, is arguably, you know, the best Raptor in history, and you don't put yourself in a tough position long-term doing it.
Great stuff, Chris. Really appreciate the insight, man. We'll do it again down the road.
Anytime, guys.
There's Chris Mannix, senior writer for Sports Illustrated.
That's good insight.
It's a complicated story, man.
That's what it is. It's complicated, but now you start wading into stuff, and that's where I feel like you want people in a position of power to help use their platform for good. But sometimes it backfires, and you're never going to please everyone.
You're either an advocate for free speech,
right,
or you're not. And I think what has been exposed here is Adam Silver is no different than anyone else.
Exactly. Like, to me,
they're about the bottom line.
Exactly.
That's what they're about.
Now take a look at it. I'm drawing a blank on the name of the owner with the racist comments that they ousted.
Donald Sterling.
Sterling.
Yeah.
Out. Now,
that was racist.
That was racist. And it's a social issue, and it's a big thing.
But there's been a lot of political statements made.
Right.
Like, what happens, this is a hypothetical, what happens if players started taking a knee for Hong Kong?
Right.
What would happen?
But that's...
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like they would be basically told, don't ever do that again. Like,
right. But you can't be selective. That was my point. You can't be selective with digging in on stuff. They
right.
dug in on Sterling because they believed that was the right thing. They dug in about the transgender law, which is fine. They believed that was the right thing. All of a sudden, well, hold on a second here. We've got
$4 billion. Yeah.
Take down the tweet. And, like, you know,
yep.
It shows where people's bread is buttered. And ultimately, that's why I asked the question, is it about money? And it's flat about money.
That's exactly what it is. China is a market that, like, Chris just laid out the numbers, the amount of people that are watching games, the amount of money that is being pumped in. They're not going to sacrifice that for anything.
That's how you can pay Kyle Lowry $31 million and not even think twice about it.
Big part of it.
And guys $40 million. And I get it.
Yeah.
But you can't just have.
But to your point, like, you can take runs at Trump,
right?
Which you're allowed to. If you believe in free speech, but they don't ever come out with a statement saying, well, it was regrettable and they're not doing that. But
it's because, you know, for the most part, if you put your opinion out there right now, 50%, if it's political, 50% don't like it.
Absolutely.
So, and it becomes polarizing. That's why you're better off. Like, this general manager, like, to me, I think he's probably just saying, why did I even tweet that
out? Well, I'm sure he did. Like, because, listen, if he believed that when he tweeted it out, he still believes it. The majority of people in the Western world would believe it.
Well, for sure. People,
considering what's happening over there. Exactly. But now all of a sudden he realizes I might lose my job or this could really cause. Like, I wonder if Morey honestly thought, like, what if I get blacklisted from the NBA? Like, if you cost a league billions of dollars.
Yeah. Like, no owner.
Good luck getting another job.
No owner is going to go, I want that guy in my organization who just cost us a boatload of money.
Right.
But it comes back to money.
Money. It's always about
money. What
is
your tolerance? That's the thing. How much could money make you look the other way?
It's a totally different issue, but look at gambling. All of a sudden, gambling's okay again.
Yeah.
It was morally corrupt and completely unacceptable, and we're going to the Supreme Court. Yeah. And then it's like one league started doing it and making money, and they're like, okay, we're good.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we can start doing this.
Well, you've been on that train for a while because we had Bill Daly on several years ago, and you flat out asked him.
Explain to me why you guys are fighting against legalized gambling. And now look where the NHL is today.
Right.
Like everyone else.
They just didn't want to be the first team
in. Didn't want to be the first person to take the bullets. Now they know the money's there and society is kind of cooled off. They're taking the money.
Just it shows. Like, that's why...
It's not surprising.
No, but it just...
That's capitalism for the most part.
The almighty dollar wins out.
But as for Lowry, I mean, like Chris said, I think we all would agree with that.
Yeah, good for him.
Next summer, there's not a ton of free agents, like big-time free agents, but it sets up for 2 years down the road. Giannis will be a free agent. You know that's who they're gunning for.
Right.
And Kyle, I think, deserved... an extension. I think he'll still be a very good player this year and more than likely next year, like a very good player, but certainly a serviceable player. And I think it's a legacy deal. And that legacy deal is 1 year. It's not five.
Right.
It's not a lifetime contract. So after next year, if it's the end of the road, so be it. Unbelievable career. Your number's getting retired.
Yeah.
And then you go out there and you invest, hopefully, in a big free agent or two.
This is it's a pivotal year because... Coming off a championship, like you said, Masai's chasing it. He's got a taste of it. See how the team responds. And we got to get into the basketball with Babcock and how much he's imitating Nick Nurse.
Well, yeah. Like, he's going to show up in Nick Nurse glasses for the Thursday game against Tampa.
Yeah.
Like, he's gonna request that they play music during the play, I think, tonight. Because he is all in on channeling Nick Nurse.
Although... Yeah, we'll get into it.
We'll come back and get into it more extensively. Jamie Rivers from longtime NHLer, former Blue, your boy.
Yeah, teammate of mine.
Teammate of yours.
Several years.
Will help us tee up the game tonight. Leafs Blues, you can hear it right here on TSN 1050. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. Prop Bet Monday, feeling it tonight. Browns Niners, Monday Nighter. Browns getting 5 points. I'm locking it in. I'm on Cleveland tonight. I need a win. He will be insufferable. The old dog will be insufferable.
Yeah, if you
tomorrow.
Have to hand him another 100.
I am going deep in the hole on this guy.
Yeah, you gotta dig in on Cleveland tonight.
Yeah. Come on, Cleveland.
Yeah.
I am Harry Doyle. I am the biggest fan of Cleveland.
Well, we'll see how this Mayfield.
See how he fares tonight.
Exactly.
So the Blues are in town tonight. I don't think Brett Hull will be up here.
He's still hungover.
Yeah.
Do you think?
We got to revisit the Brett Hull.
Like, there's some great championship speeches, but we forget that Hully won a cup. He won two cups. He won in Dallas and Detroit. And I don't even know if he celebrated as hard as he did for the Blues.
I don't think he did. He clearly has more of a connection to St. Louis.
Well, he does. He's a
god.
That's
there. His team.
He's a flat-out god there, for sure. But still.
This is what went down. He wasn't on the team. He wasn't on the bench. He wasn't in management.
No.
He was just an alumni who happened to show up at a bunch of games.
Brett Hull.
Instead of saying, let's go, Blues, we're going to say, we went, Blues. We went, Blues.
Sorry, this is a Wendy's.
Yeah.
Glory, Gloria! 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 I think I got your number! Gloria!
There he is. Brett Hull.
I wanted to be there.
I need to party like that. Yeah. Once in my life. I feel like I've had some pretty good times.
We've all had times.
But I haven't had a time like that. I haven't created a new saying that doesn't make sense.
No, but I think they still chant it in St. Louis. You never know.
You think people just yell that at him? Hey, Holly, we went.
We went Blues.
I'll bet you.
We went Blues!
If I'm getting captain chants at the Scotiabank Arena.
There's got to be a T-shirt that says, we went Blues.
Yeah.
For sure.
There has to be.
I would think.
Doing a huge disservice to Brett Hull and his greatness. He's up there with a Bud Light, too. Well, he's drinking beer up there.
Well, of course. I mean, Budweiser, the factory's right there in St. Louis.
That's like, the home, right?
Yes.
Like, do you have to drink exclusively Bud?
I drink vodka, but when I drink beer, I drink Budweiser or Coors Light.
But in St. Louis, I'm saying.
In St. Louis, I don't even know if they serve another beer.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I know in Halifax, that's Alexander Keith.
Yeah.
You can't find anything else.
Yeah, so you just...
Like, it's just everywhere you go, Alexander Keith.
Well, Budweiser is everywhere in St. Louis.
All right, well, we got a guy on the line who's doing radio down there in St. Louis. Your former teammate.
Yes, good friend of mine.
Former St. Louis Blue. Here is Jamie Rivers joining us here on Overdrive. Is that true that you can only find Budweiser in St. Louis, or can other brands be found down there?
There's other brands, but you got to look long and hard, because if there is a Budweiser available, I probably tried to consume it, boys.
Right. Were you at the parade when Hull was up there?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Hully, we actually, the alumni were great. The Blues were great about it. The alumni got together before the parade started, and we had a little chit-chat and started having some beers. And Hully was... He had a slight lead on everybody before we got started. And then when the parade was over, you know, we'd sat around a while, and as great as the footage is of all the players running around and doing their thing, and it was pretty amazing. Well, it got boring down near the stage where, you know, the alumni and everybody else was, like, waiting. So literally, like the internet meme, you know, Holly was like, here, hold my beer. And just decided that, you know, he was about to go Blues up there for us.
He went Blues.
Was he even supposed to make a speech, or did he just go up and decide to make one?
No, Noodles, I'm not joking when I say he literally turned to me. We were standing there. It was like, hold my beer. And went up on stage because he was bored. And that was it. Then the rest was off the cuff. And then when he came off the stage, he looks at me, and you know, Holly, he's just so amazing. He's so funny. He comes back, and he's like, we went Blues. He's like, let him figure that one out. And that was it. That was the joke. Like, but he'd done his job, because by then, everybody was down there and listening and ready to go on the stage. So he was the opening act, and he did his job well.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, we just said that. We want to have one big night where we create a saying that makes no sense.
Yeah.
And then you know you had yourself a great afternoon. And that's pretty much what Brett Hull established.
Well, he's the man here, right? Like, you know, anything he does turns to gold, literally. And now, you know, we went Blues will be probably etched in somebody's, like, gravestone somewhere before we're done with this.
With Jamie Rivers, how's the city feeling about the team's chances of doubling down here and going on another cup run this year?
Well, you know, what's crazy, guys, is that it's the same, almost the same roster as they had last year. And, I mean, that's so rare. in today's NHL with the salary cap and trying to retain core guys and all those factors that come into it, that everybody's feeling, you know, strong towards the possibility, anyways, of a repeat. If not a repeat, at least going deep into the playoff run again this year. So, you know, and with Chief behind the bench and the job he's done, and with the buy-in that he's got from what I would consider the leadership core, that, you know, it's not impossible. I mean, they are. They're built deep. From top to bottom, that roster is as good as any I've seen.
Rivs, is are you an insider now? We're kind of checking out your Twitter account there, and what was your Spidey sense tweeting out?
Well, what's funny about that, guys, is I was tweeting that out this morning. I got up, and you know, I was like, I got a feeling that they're in Toronto. Petro, you know, what a great time that would be for him to nail an extension. So I just wrote on Twitter, like, first of all, like, who's really paying attention to me? And you know, I wrote in there in jest, too, that I may be guzzling Bud Lights. But apparently, the guzzling of Bud Lights got overlooked, and people think I'm Bob McKenzie now, and I'm breaking stories out here.
So
Yeah, I mean, you take your shot, right? If you miss, it's a miss. But if you nail it, man, you're a hero.
That's a pretty good point.
That is true.
I swear there's a lot of people that do that anyway. And then you just take credit. Like, if Petrangelo signs, you own it. You broke it.
Oh, you better believe it.
Well, do you think that, I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't sign him, but if you take a look at that right side now, where does he fit in? Because, I mean, if he's your best defenseman, I mean, would you say Parayko's right there? I think he's a fantastic player. And then you go and get Falk and extend him. I think he's at 6.5, and Parayko's at 5-something. And, you know, if you have Petrangelo, to me, the number's got to start with an 8 or maybe even a 9. He's that good. So I don't. Can you even figure out an extension for him?
Well, that's the hard part, right? Because if Alex Petrangelo goes on the open market for some reason, you guys know as well as I do that, like, that number is going to be like a 9-10, and depending on the team, like, who knows if he gets a bidding war going? I mean, a right-handed shot defenseman that plays 25 minutes a game and is captain to Stanley Cup championship, like, those guys are pretty valuable. And for it to work out here in St. Louis, then there's going to have to be some bend on both sides. You know, Alex Petrangelo is probably going to have to go with a little hometown discount, and maybe Doug Armstrong's going to have to add a year or two to the term to make it, you know, enticing for Alex. But it is a crowded right side. That's why Craig Berube has tried to kind of tinker a little bit with playing Petro on the left side with Justin Falk. And, you know, they did one game like that. And the next game, they made a rotation, a change. Bortuzzo comes out. Gunnarsson goes in. Petro goes back to the right side. So ultimately, you know, I don't know if there's cap space in the future for all this to happen or if there's enough minutes in a game for all these guys to play. But I do think that retaining Alex Petrangelo would be an amazing move by the St. Louis Blues. He really has got a lot of credibility in that locker room. And, you know, having been the captain of that team last year and everything they went through, like, it's pretty hard to put a price tag on what kind of experience that guy has now. So I think they're all going to have to get really creative with it. And I think at the end of the day, it boils down to whether Alex Petrangelo wants to stay a St. Louis Blue or if he'd like to test the waters.
With former NHLer and ESPN radio host down in St. Louis, Jamie Rivers, Jordan Binnington, this time last year, not many people had heard of him.
No.
Like, Noodles, you probably knew him, but there were a lot of people in the hockey world that had no idea who this guy was. And then all of a sudden, he's lights out. And Ryan O'Reilly was a great pick for the Conn Smythe, but I think my pick would have gone to Jordan Binnington. And when you do that in such a short span and you go on a cup run the way he did, how do you possibly top that? I mean, is there any pressure on Binnington in St. Louis?
Well, you know, it's so funny because this guy, like you said, he's come out of nowhere pretty much to the average hockey person. He's come out of nowhere, made this incredible run, and then was this personality too, where literally you can't rattle me type guy. You know, he's the guy wearing the shades at the NHL awards, and it's just kind of funny how his persona has developed
over the course of this amazing run that he's had. But at the end of the day, guys, and Noodles, you know this, like he's still, it's a pretty small sample size of work that he has under his belt. And so there's going to be skeptics for sure. And I think at the end of it, though, guys, Jordan Binnington is the right personality for this scenario, because a lot of other guys, and Noodles, of course, you can speak to the position better than I can, but a lot of other guys would feel that every time a puck went in this year, that they'd be worried that, well, people think, it, you know, oh, well, last year was a fluke, or maybe I'm not as good as I was last year, or, you know, all these question marks would pop up in maybe certain guys' heads that are different personalities. But I think Jordan Binnington, like, I think he firmly believes, like, he should have been here 5 years ago, and that this was just the thing that was waiting to happen, and that he's basically unbeatable. And that's going to bode well for him. He's looked pretty good in the first couple of games. He's solid. The guys, you know, respect his work ethic and practice. He's done a lot of things the right way, showed up to camp in great shape and with a great attitude. So I don't think there's going to be any drop-off this year. In fact, I think it'll probably be somewhat the same. And with Jake Allen around here, you know, the Blues really have a nice luxury of spotting Jake in for, you know, 20 to 30 games if they really want to. If they want to make sure that Jordan Binnington stays fresh and available, they have a guy that can carry what I would say is 20 to 30 games.
Now, I was telling Brian off air that I didn't handle the puck very well as a player or as a goaltender. And by accident, one night in the minors, I gave you six stitches between the eyes. Trying to fire the puck.
You say it was by accident, but I'm you know, I'm starting to wonder, because that had some heat on it, Noodles. You hit me right between the eyes, too.
I was trying to score a goal, and he and Jamie skated right in the middle of it, and I hit him.
Collateral damage.
Collateral
damage.
Have been standing I never tried to score a goal in an empty net ever again because of that, but I will say Rivs got called up that night. I think they just wanted to get him away from me.
A sympathy call-out.
Well, let's really talk honesty here. I've seen Noodles handle the puck, and I thought to myself, there's no way he's going to go for the empty netter. He can barely get it to the blue line.
Exactly.
And then, he showed me. He put it right between my eyes at about 35, 40 miles an hour.
Felt
pretty
zippers.
Good, but that's all right.
Yeah, you're good, man. You guys made it in the end.
There we go.
You got out of there at some point.
Great
catching up with you, Jamie. Really appreciate you doing this for us.
Anytime, guys. I appreciate you having me.
There's Jamie Rivers from ESPN Radio down in St. Louis, and former teammate of yourself in St. Louis, hanging out with Brett Hull.
Man, that's a funny story. That was impromptu.
And I love how he walks off. Let them try to figure out what the hell I just
said. The scary part about that is if you've ever met Brett Hull, he's extremely intelligent, like really high IQ, off the ice. Like does New York Times puzzles and stuff, like just a very brilliant person. And even, you know, on the sauce or off the sauce, it's funny that he just decides, okay, I'm gonna go up and grab the mic here. Like I was shocked that he even got to make a speech.
Where's security, though?
What's like, Brett Hull?
I know that, but isn't someone sitting there with, like, the schedule?
Yeah, it'll be like, this guy's not supposed to be talking.
We don't have you booked right now.
What are they going to do? Like,
clearly nothing. He stole the parade.
Okay, say the Leafs win the Cup. Who could get on the stage for an impromptu
Wendell
speech?
Wendell or Dougie.
Okay, so there it is.
Yes. Clark or Gilmore could go up.
Okay, so if they win the Cup and Dougie or Wendell are greased because they're so pumped for the team, they'll get the
fine.
Speech.
Yes, that would be fine.
And they will say, we went Leafs or whatever.
Instead of go Leafs, go. We went Leafs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
People will take that.
Those are the two guys. It'll be like Aki Berg, though, or something.
Yeah, nobody else.
Vesitas.
Who would get chicken winged off? Everyone else.
I would think there'd be a long list of guys who wouldn't get up. Like Sundin could go up.
Could Tux go up?
Tucker probably could. Yeah, I think Tucker probably could.
But then that's the line.
I don't think O could get up there. They'd stop him pretty quickly.
Caber'd get stopped?
I think Caber could maybe go up.
Really?
Maybe. It's a thin line, though.
Yeah, it's a fine line.
You got to be careful pushing your luck on that. Exactly. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN2.
All right,
time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. Looking at the prop bets tonight. Over the number, Baker Mayfield, total passing receptions or completions. 20.5. Over the number, Odell Beckham Jr. loves Monday Night Football. His numbers historically, I think he's played 8 or 9 Monday Night games and off the charts. I think he shows up tonight.
That's why you're on them.
I'm on them tonight. And over the number QB sacks, paying $1.80 for 5.5 sacks. Two mobile quarterbacks. The Browns O-line's not great. I think Myles Garrett gets out there tonight. Jimmy Garoppolo could be in a bit of trouble. Throw down 20, you can score 98. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So we've got a couple of baseball games going on. We've already had the Rays beat the Astros earlier today. 4-4 Braves Cards moving into the bottom of the ninth. Dodgers up 1-0 already. And that's early. That's bottom of the first in Washington. And Yankees looking to sweep the Twins tonight. And you got a pretty good Monday nighter. And then the Leafs are taking on the Cup champs.
It's a lot of couching tonight, for sure.
I am very, very interested in that idea.
You're going to have to be PVR, slide over here, be all over Twitter.
Yeah, I'm putting time into that converter tonight. The ass groove will be on point. Should be fun. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. And they'd like to thank their customers for the continued support during the construction on Eglinton. Come on in. They're open.
The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on. Lease the new 2020 Nissan Rogue Special Edition from $327 a month for 60 months. That's like paying only $75 a week.
Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Ave. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on. Lease the new 2020 Nissan Rogue Special Edition from $327 a month for 60 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.